Go ahead and turn your Bibles, if you would, tonight to the book of Revelation, chapter number 3. The book of Revelation, chapter number 3. I was originally going to start a series here in the book of 1 Peter. That was my intention this whole entire week, even up until this morning. But due to really paying attention to what Pastor had to say this morning about God's amazing grace, I begin to reflect on some areas over the past few months of not only my life, but the church's life as well, and just begin to contemplate on some things. And God really gave me a message tonight with, it's really from the heart. And don't take that the wrong way, because every message that I bring forth is from the heart. But tonight I'm going to, if I could, be a little transparent on things, to help you understand why God has brought me to this point in this passage tonight. You can become discouraged, believe it or not, when you're in a ministry. You can become discouraged when you're sitting in the pews. And that's just a part of life. That's what happens to a lot of us. But the thing that I don't want you or yourself to get entangled with is to be stagnant in your Christian life. And it's very easy for a lot of folks to do, and that is, I want you to take that with great caution and with great warning tonight, because when things arise that we are not used to in our life, we tend to become stagnant and we walk away from the Lord. But rather, in doing those things, we should be wanting to draw closer to God during those times. And it's very easy to become stagnant. Let's have a word of prayer, then I'll begin to explain myself even further. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I need you tonight. I need you to overcome me tonight. I need you to protect me. I need you to guide me through your word. Lord, I need your help tonight in this area. Lord, I'm no professional. Lord, I'm just a simple person. I'm a simple vessel being used by you. But Lord, I want your truth to be revealed tonight, and I ask you these things in your name. Amen. Last year, as you all know, I came back to this church, and I've been thrilled ever since to have been walking back through these doors ever since. Well, if you can say I've really come back in January, if you really want to get down to it, as I preached a few times for Pastor and did a little series before Chris and Jalen and I officially came back here. But I remember some things that began to transpire in my life before then. And I'll just kind of give you a little insight of what was taking place in my life up until, really, till now. And I remember Dad and I, we began to talk and begin to become in agreement with us coming back. And I thank God for that great opportunity. But there's something in the back of my mind, and what was going on and what was being said in my mind, what's going to take place? Because I know God has plans. And so I begin to ask myself, what's going to take place? What's God going to do in my life? What's God going to do in my father's life? What's God going to do in this church's life? And those were my thought processes. And that's just what God guided me through. And begin to contemplate those things, not knowing what the future might behold. But I also know God is God who has that perfect foreknowledge. We can't see the future, but he can. And he knew what was going to take place, and I didn't. Your pastor didn't. You didn't either. But anyway, regardless of that, I begin to think about those things, what's going to take place. And then I begin to see a very amazing transformation begin to take place after a pastor began to go through his process that he has gone through and is still going through in his life physically. And that is the state of the church. And the state of the church, let me tell you this, I am very impressed with this body of believers that God has here. I say that because you can go to a lot of churches and you don't see people that are in unity with one another. You don't see people wanting to have fellowship with one another. And so, therefore, my biggest fear was during that time would be people becoming stagnant in their walk with the Lord. And that begins to happen. The leader is away. Things aren't being taken as serious as it used to be in their life. And you might be able to say that it's time for, hey, we can play around a little bit. But what really happened, and I don't know if you all have seen this, I begin to see this, is the unity that this church has with one another. I've seen things happen here for a reason. I've seen why Pastor has gone through. I begin to look and begin to think, why is Pastor going through this? Why? I don't understand why. And all those things begin to come through my mind, as you would imagine. And I still don't have all the answers to everything, but one thing that I have seen take place in this church is the fact that this church loves God, this church has a desire to serve God, and this church has a desire to see things continue to go forward. And I say that for a reason, because I believe that we can become stagnant in our Christian life very easily in our life. But I've seen something take place in this body of believers that I haven't seen before in my life, to be honest with you, and that is just this great urgency to continue to serve the Lord with your full heart, your all your soul, all your mind, your whole body. And that's been so encouraging for me to personally see this take place. And we don't always see the growth at first, but we can look back as the months have gone by, and you can begin to see these things transpire and progress in this body of believers. And but why do we go through those things? Because those are areas in our lives where we're going to be challenged. And we're going to be challenged in ways that we've never been challenged before in our life. And God doesn't want us to become stagnant during those times. He wants us to keep fighting. He wants us to keep going on. Why? Because he wants us to grow closer to him. It's about your personal relationship with the Lord. And it's about your personal desire to love and to serve him with your full heart. I have seen folks who, I'm experiencing a good friend of mine. He has lost several members of his church in the last few months. And it's very easy for the church to become stagnant. But God can use this time for the church to grow closer to him. And the church is doing that in great ways. But anyway, I'm going to go through some scriptures here as I begin to get away from this area. And I want you to be cautious in some areas in your life. I only have really 7 points that we're going to look at tonight. And the book of Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 22 is going to be our main subject tonight. And we're going to go through some other verses go through our reading. But before we get there, turn back to chapter number 2. And we will read verses 1 through 7, and we're going to deal with the church of Ephesus. And we can see why some churches will become stagnant in their walk with the Lord. And so I'm going to urge you tonight to really pay attention to this, because this can happen to you and I if we were to get our eyes off of God and put them upon ourselves. But as the writer here is going on, it says, verse number 1, it says, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write these things, saith he that holdeth the 7 stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how that thou canst not bear them, which are evil, and thou hast tried them, which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee." Okay, so now they just got some praise, they just got some accolades, if we can say those words. And now we move on to verse number 4, where this news that they're receiving now on the end of this letter is not good news for them. It says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee." In other words, something has taken place in the believers of this church of Ephesus at this point in time. And it's going to be pointed out to them what they're doing wrong. And so as the writer begins to go on, he explains, he says, "Because thou hast left thy first love." How can you and I become stagnant in our walk for the Lord? Very easily. In this verse right here, they have left their first love. That can happen to you and I as a body of believers if you and I were to leave our first love. Well, who is our first love? It's Christ Jesus, amen. And so therefore, we need to draw to God. We need to be at his feet. We need to surround ourselves with him and to have that desire to have that relationship with him, to have him be on our thoughts and in our mind 24/7. And I know that might seem impossible, but it is possible. And so I would encourage you tonight, if you don't want to become stagnant in your walk with God, don't leave God out of your life. Don't stop loving God. Don't look back and say, where have I gone wrong? Oh, wait a minute, I know where I've gone wrong. I've left God out. I've stopped loving God the way that I should love God. I stopped having a relationship because I stopped loving God. And so therefore, this can be you and I tonight if we were to walk away from our first love. Now, go to chapter 3, and we'll begin to read in verses 14 through 16. And now, this is a letter that is written to the church of Laodicea, and a lot of folks say that we are in the Laodicea church age, and that's fine. And so we're going to begin to read what has taken place with the church of Laodicea. Says verse number 14, it says, unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. Do you see anything very encouraging given to this letter to the church of Laodicea at this time? Not a very good starting point for them to begin to read this letter. You look back, and we just read about the accolades and the praise that just went towards the church of Ephesus. And now, the church of Laodicea, they aren't getting the accolades and the praise that you would think the other churches were getting. It goes off right off the bat. He says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, and blind, and naked. Don't allow yourself, if you don't want to become a stagnant Christian, if you don't want to have that title in your life, okay, the first thing, don't leave your first love. The second thing, don't allow yourself to become stale. Stale is not a very good word to put yourself in that type of a category. Because think about that. Who is all, you buy a bag of chips without looking at the date. Has anybody ever done that? You buy a bag of chips, you don't look at the date, and you're just looking forward to opening up that bag of chips, Doritos, Cool Ranch, Cheetos, whatever it is that gets you all messy. And those things are really good to have. You guys hungry tonight? And you look forward to diving into that bag. But you don't look at one thing that's important. You don't look at the date. You don't look at the expiration date. And I've done this several times. And I've bought in groceries, and I brought the bags of chips home, and I've sat it there for a day or two, and then I become like a little kid. I can't wait to get into the cupboards and open this bag of chips and have some fun eating this. And sit down before you know it, the whole bag's gone. And but the sad thing is, when you get there, you're excited about this, and you open up a bag of chips, and you take that chip in your mouth, and what happens? It's stale. What do? You spit it out. That's one of the worst things you can do. Man, I just invested $3.49 in a 14-ounce bag of chips that was filled with 20 ounces of air. And now I have a bag of chips that is not desirable to have, and so therefore, I'm going to spit the rest of this out of my mouth, and I'm going to throw it into the trash. Well, that's the same concept when it comes to believers being stale, when it comes to believers being stagnant. And face it, when you have a nice hot day and you want to cool off and you want to have this nice cold cup of water, the last thing that you want to do is go grab a cup of water that's been on the counter for a couple hours and begin to drink that. What's going to happen? It's not going to be very satisfying to you. It's going to be stale. It's going to be stagnant. And you're going to spit those things out. So I'm going to encourage you tonight, don't allow yourself to become stale in your walk with God. Verse number 17 is very important for us to understand, because this is our thought process. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Do you realize tonight, you and I, we have need of something? And that need is Jesus Christ our Lord. That is our greatest need in our life. And if we could recognize that we are in need of him, not just on one day a week or 1 week out of the month or 1 month out of the year, if we can recognize that we are in need of the Lord every single day, I can almost guarantee you your walk with Him will not become stagnant or stale in your life. And so therefore, don't put yourself in a category, well, I have this and I have that. I have all the riches that I've attained on earth. I have all the goods that I've ever desired. I am in need of nothing. Yes, you are. You're in need of Jesus Christ in your life. And it says, thou knowest that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be jealous, therefore, and repent. So therefore, I'm going to encourage you tonight. You don't want to get spit out. Don't become stale. Don't become stagnant. But there's nothing more dissatisfying when somebody is in great need of thirst, and that water that is right before them, they cannot drink. I don't know if you know this about me, but I watch. If you guys want to know my vocabulary, just write that down. I watch a lot of stuff. And it's with a W, in case you didn't catch that. I watch a lot of Westerns. I grew up on Westerns. I grew up watching The Lone Ranger, which is my favorite. Gunsmoke. My favorite one now is Bonanza. I like Big Hoss and Little Joe. And I'd love to be in a fight with Big Hoss one of these days, just because he's big. On his side, not fighting against him. But anyway, I watched these things, and I was watching one show, and I never really understood it. I just started getting involved, and it's called The Virginia. Has anybody ever heard of The Virginia? I was watching that episode one day, and they're out in the desert. They're walking through the desert, and they're chasing some bad guys. Well, the bad guys got a hold of some sulfur. I believe that's what it is. It's poisonous, and they dumped it in the water, the watering hole, and so the guys came up. They could not drink of the water because it was not good for them to drink. It was a them for them to do. It became poisonous. It became stale. It became stagnant. And so there's nothing more dissatisfying to this. And this is what the Word of God is saying here. It says, I know the works that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. So the third thing that I want us to look at is, don't blame others for your stagnant, stale life as a believer. You know, because we do that a lot in our lives. Well, I'm this way because of so-and-so. Can I tell you tonight, when you stand before God, you're going to answer to God for your life and not for anybody else's. You're going to answer for how you lived your life and not how somebody's tried to live it for you. So I would encourage you tonight, you don't want to become a stale or stagnant Christian. Don't blame others. Some will sit there and say, well, the pastor, he's not very vocal on things. The pastor, he doesn't train us in these areas. The pastors, no, stop putting blame on somebody else. Well, the Sunday school, the teacher, they don't take their time to explain things. They don't do this and they don't do that. Don't blame others for you being stale, for you being stagnant. But rather, I'm going to encourage you to do this. You know what they do to dead people that die without just cause? They usually perform an autopsy. And as they begin to open up that body, they begin to go through the cavity of that body, and they begin to try to find out what caused this individual to die. And so then they come up with the proper source after the end of their diagnosis. They find out, well, this guy died of a heart attack, or this guy, he had cancer, he didn't know about it, he died of this thing. I would encourage you tonight, do an autopsy on yourself. Examine your heart. Examine your life. Well, I'm stale because of this reason. Well, if you figure that out, then get rid of that reason. Don't blame others. You're responsible for yourself. Open your heart up and begin to examine why you might be stagnant or stale in your life. Recognize your problems, not because, not someone else's problems, but recognize your problems and confess and repent for those things. Now, I'm going to turn to the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. It's going to take a little change of events here, because it's very easy for us to fall into this category as a church to become stale in our walk with Him. And that is a very dangerous situation for any believer to be in. And so now we go back to the book of Acts, chapter number 2, and we look at the church here that has been formed here. In verse number 42, it says, and they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. Look what takes place in these next few verses in their life. And folks, this is the early church. This was how the church was set up. This was how the church was designed. And the problem here in our society, we have westernized Christianity beyond belief. And if we were to get back to what the Word of God says on how we're to have our lives for Him, boy, I tell you what, it would be a rude awakening for a lot of us. So, verse number 45, it goes on, it says, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily. You see what's taking place in this church at this point in time? We meet on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Those are our 3 days of worship together. But the early church here, when it was established, they met daily. Do you know how you can become a non-stagnant, a non-stale Christian in your life? Well, what's the Word of God say here? And they continued daily. And some of you might complain, well, you preach for an hour and a half, that makes up for it. No, that's not, that doesn't make up for it by any means. But they had a desire. They didn't want to become stale. They didn't want to become stagnant. Instead, they would go out and they would sell all their goods. And then they would have everything in common with one another. And then they would go and they would meet daily. Listen to this word. With one accord, meaning that they were in unity with each other. That's important for us to understand, because the world, in their eyes, they don't want the church to be in unity together. You might not believe that, but that is the case. They don't like the church, they hate the church, and they want to do everything that they can to destroy the church. And sometimes they're successful and sometimes they're not. But so we see here, these first believers here, as this church was formed, it says, continually daily with one accord. Stop there. And it says, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Boy, I tell you what, if we went back to how the early church was designed, do you think that you and I would have time in our lives to become stale and to become stagnant? Because the Word of God says here they had everything in common. They were in unity with one another. They met in accord. I've heard families say when they went to church as kids, they drove the church of their mom and dads, and they had an accord. And they said that's the only time that they were in one accord. I'm just seeing if you guys are listening. I know it was a horrible joke, but I'm seeing if you're listening. But they are in one accord with each other. And so they didn't stop there. They did not only meet for the teaching of God's word, but they also saw the importance of fellowship with one another. Sometimes in our churches, we don't have time to fellowship with one another. Think about this. We come to church. We have jobs. We have a Sunday school teachers. We have nursery workers. We have all these other things that are taking place. And it takes us away from having fellowship with one another. And the church was designed for us to be in fellowship and to have those things in common with us. So they would meet together, they'd have a meet with the Lord, they'd be taught by the elders of the church at this point in time, they'd be breaking bread from house to house, and they were glad. They were glad for these things. Well, some of us, we don't get glad enough, do we? The only time we get glad is when church is out at 7:10. Praise the Lord, I endure to the end. Hallelujah, the preacher's done, I'm happy. What about that 35, 40 minutes in between time where the pastor is trying to talk to us about God's word? Where is our happiness then? Where is our gladness at that point in time? But look at what it says in verse number 47. It says, praising God and having favor with all people. And then it goes on, it says, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So I believe that the beginning part of this church, when it was developed, when it was formed, it was very important for us to understand. They realized that they needed to be taught God's word. They realized that they needed to meet daily to be educated in God's word, to be informed on God's word and how to live our lives, how to do the things that we need to do. And they recognize these things. And ultimately, what took place at the end of the day, they wanted to be taught about who Christ was and what he can do for their life. And that was very important for them to do. And so, therefore, with that being said, we should allow every opportunity to be used for growth. During his time with our pastor, going through the things that he's gone through physically in his body, we should allow that time as an opportunity to have everything in common, to be meeting with each other, and to be taking the opportunity and using this for growth in our life. And that should be the ultimate purpose here. Be assured, Christ has given the church a purpose. He has given the church a purpose. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of, Matthew chapter 28. So, in order for us to become, not to become stagnant or still in our life, remember, stay with your first love. Don't allow yourself to become that water where you're neither lukewarm or cold or hot and you're spewed out of the mouth of God. Don't allow yourself to be in that situation. And again, don't put blame on others. Take responsibility for yourself and own it, recognize it. And then we see how we can come out of those things. We see that we need to meet with believers. We need to be under the teaching of God's word. And then we need to capitalize on the things that God has put in our life. Matthew chapter number 28 ends with the fulfilling of the Great Commission. Do you realize tonight you and I have a job that we are called to do? If you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are called to do this very thing. Unfortunately, what takes place in our churches is the church body thinks that it's the pastor's responsibility or the deacon's responsibility or the elders, however the church believes, and they put all this upon them. I have to say this, the pastor's job is to educate you on how to do these very things and to show you how to equip yourself to become that soldier for Christ that you should be in your life. And so therefore, if you want to avoid becoming stagnant in your life with God, let's read these four verses here. Verse number 16, it says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted." Boy, doesn't that sound like us sometimes? We come to church, we sit underneath the teaching and preaching of God's word, and we say, well, I believe that, but I really don't. That sounds a lot like us today. Verse number 18, it says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore." Now, I'm going to stop and say this because a lot of people say, well, he's talking to the disciples here. Yes, I would agree with that. But at the same time, this is meant for us as well. This is meant for us to do the job that the disciples have left behind for us to do. Remember, the disciples are no longer with us. They're no longer on this earth. They have passed away. They're with the Lord and Savior today. And so therefore, that responsibility that the Lord laid on them that day now lies upon you and me. And this is something that is ignored by a lot of believers. And to my shame, it's been ignored by me many times in my life. And I say that for a reason, because I have become stale and I have become stagnant in my walk with him. And that is an area where I don't want to go back to. I don't want to go back to this lifestyle of being a stale Christian, being a stagnant Christian, being someone that God wants to spew out of his mouth. I don't want to be known as an individual that has left their first love. I don't want to be known as an individual that is casting blames upon everybody else and not accepting my own responsibilities. I don't want that lifestyle no more. God's changing me, and he's still changing me to this day. And I can yet interfere. I can mess everything up, but I don't want to. But here's what we can do as the Lord is talking to his disciples. It says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Our responsibility as believers is to go forth into this nation, teaching them about who Christ was and is in our life and what he could be and should be in their life. The reason why this doesn't get picked up by a lot of believers in your life, and I'm going to just say it as best as I could, is because we have become stale and we become stagnant. And we say, so-and-so can do it. It's time to take responsibility for what God has called us to do and do the job that He wants to do in our lives. And so, therefore, if you don't want to be in that category of being a stagnant Christian, you don't want to be in that category where you have walked away from God, you haven't drawn nigh to Him, you've drawn away from Him, and that's the unfortunate thing in a lot of folks' lives, they draw away from Him. I challenge you tonight, be excited about what Christ has done in your life and tell this world the great things what Christ has done for you and what He can do for them. Tell them about His great love. Tell them about His great saving grace. Tell them of those things. Be excited, because that's what God wants you to do. Well, Chad, I don't know how to do these things. I'm stale. I'm stagnant. Well, first thing you need to do is do an autopsy on yourself. Remove those things that's causing you to be that way. Christ has given us a purpose to fulfill this great commission, reaching others for Christ. Don't become a pew warmer. Get involved. We have a lot of pew warmers. Get out of the pew. Get out of the chair. Get involved in the church. Get involved in the church that God has called you to. Get involved. Get your hands dirty. Get involved and begin to serve, because Christ came to serve, not to be served. We sit in our pews. We sit in our chairs. We say, I want somebody to serve me. That's not the mentality that Christ had while He's here on earth. He came to serve. And with that being said, you and I have a great responsibility in our life tonight to help fill that great commission to go out and to serve and be a blessing to others. That's what God wants in your life. The other thing that God wants us to do to avoid us to becoming a stagnant church, turn your Bibles again to the book of Acts chapter 4. The book of Acts chapter number 4. I'll read verses 23 through 27. Verses 23 through 27, it says, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And look what this verse says. It says, and when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. Do you know how a church can get out of that stagnant, stale stage that it might be in? Recognize the need that we as believers need to be in one accord with each other and praying to our Heavenly Father. We shouldn't be having 10, 12 people in this auditorium at 5:15. We should have every single believer of this church praying for the needs of this community, praying that God would use us, this vessel that He has given us, our body, to be glorified to this community. We need to be lifting up our voices. What's keeping us from praying as a church? The doors are open. They're not locked. The chairs are here. They're empty at times. Well, Chad, you're just being downright personal at times. No, I'm recognizing the need tonight. I'm recognizing the need that I don't want Open Door Baptist Church to become a stale and stagnant church. Well, Brother Chad, I don't really know how to pray. Let me say this, you're not praying to me, you're praying to Almighty God. There might be other people in the room, but He's the one you're praying to. So you shouldn't be embarrassed or feel like you're uneducated to come in and begin to open up your heart to God. It's between you and the Lord. And I tell you what, it is beautiful to sit here and hear the voices of God's people lifting up their voice to Him in prayer. If we don't want to become a stagnant church, a stale church, we need to be a group that God has called us to be, this body, one accord, and praying together. Boy, what a difference it's going to make for this community. And we wonder why we don't do these things all the time. I'm going to say it with this. I'm going to say it with great caution, or that's not the word I'm going to use. I'm just going to be as polite as I can be. It's because we could become stale and we become stagnant. And I don't want this church to be that way. I want this church, when people hear about Open Door Baptist Church, I want people to say, they, God meets with them. I want people to say, when they hear of Open Door Baptist Church, God is in their presence. This is a church that's glorifying God. This is a church that's on fire for God. This is a church that has a desire to see this world, this community of Council Bluffs, Iowa, come to know them as his Lord, as their Lord and personal Savior. That's what I want them to see. But let me ask you a question. What do they see when they hear about Open Door Baptist Church right now? Do they see stagnant, stale people? I don't know your life. I don't know how you are behind your closed doors. I don't know what your personal relationship is with Jesus Christ. I don't know how many times you open up your Word of God and begin to allow God to speak to your hearts. I don't know those things. I don't know how you have your prayer time with Him. I don't know if you meet with Him in a secret place and begin to pour your heart out. I don't know these things about you. Only you do. But let me encourage you. Don't become stagnant in your walk with Him. Grow in Christ. Do what He has called you to do. Don't leave your first love. Don't become stale. Don't blame others. Recognize you're the problem. And begin to meet in fellowship with a body of believers that God has called you to do, to be with. Fulfill that great commission. And meet in prayer with one another. That's how we can avoid becoming stale and stagnant in our life with Him. Folks, I've been there way too many times in my life. And I don't want to go back. I don't want to live a life of regrets. I'm excited that Christ saved my soul on the 25th of April of 1986. And that excitement in my life needs to go out into this community, because He did something marvelous that day. He saved me, and that's a miracle. He sought me out, and I answered Him. But I've failed Him so many times. I've walked away on many countless occasions. I don't want to go back to that lifestyle. I want to be alive and vibrant for the Lord.